we have come to this moment because of the lives we have been a part of for 17 years now. And
17 years.
17 years.
Wow.
And that has included wonderful stories, deep loss, deep suffering, and as we were just talking, and many times the death mm-hmm. of people in ways that we wish had maybe been better. And so the event at the park was really a claiming of the moment. And we have in the past held Homeless Persons Memorial Day at that park, which is where we went back to that park. And as we looked ahead towards Pentecost, which was coming up the Sunday after that event, as a way of celebrating what the church, what the community can be, we cast a vision for this community that's been forming, I think, in our hearts for, mm-hmm. for a long time. And if you really look at, you know, we were talking when I first came in this morning about how, you know, in 17 years, Mike has come very much from a basic needs organization to really doing a little bit of everything, from housing to healthcare to street church, that we really have become a scattered community of sorts. And now we're ready to be a community. And so Jeremiah Community, the vision is that we would build small houses, not tiny homes. Small houses, anything over 400 square feet is considered an actual single family home. We're okay. looking to build about 450 square feet, which to most of us is a small, is a tiny home. But but we want to build about 30 to 50 small houses. Where people can live affordably for about $300 a month in rent, have purpose, that there will be things involved in the community, like a garden and an art workshop and ways that people can be involved to have a meaningful life. And it can be a place that people can also have meaningful relationships, that we can care for people better. And so that's the vision of Jeremiah Community. And it the other important thing that I think is important for people to understand that while the concept comes from all the things we have learned over the last decade and a half or so, there is one particular story that I think is really, really special to understanding what that is about. And that's a story of a man named Jeremiah, who was homeless on the streets of Fredericksburg for 27 years. So graduate of North Stafford High School, a veteran, and a person who, for whatever reason, largely due to mental health, was what took a long time to build relationship and move indoors. And during the beginning of the pandemic, when everybody else was in hotels, he was really one of the last ones left. And we did not want to leave him, of all people, outside. And so we rented an apartment, and for 6 months, every night, someone from our team went and invited him to go into it. And one night, there was an oncoming snowstorm, and I guess the stars aligned. He said yes, and he's been housed for a year and a half now, indoors, and he's often the person that, and people will say, well, what happened to Jeremiah? Because people were used to seeing him for 27 years, and he's indoors, and he's safe, and he's wheeling the trash, his own trash, to the curb, and he's doing his own laundry, and cooking his own meals, and the important part of the story is that you think of the effort it took to get him in, the effort to keep him there, and help him work towards a place where he can have a meaningful life is still happening and is a part of the journey. And there are many people like him that we care for on a daily basis that we need to do that for and do that better. And so that's the sentiment behind Jeremiah Community. There's also a prophet, Jeremiah, that offers an interesting play. Mm-hmm. But that's the sentiment behind what we are trying to do and the kind of community we think people need in order to live a more meaningful life.
Is there anything like this anywhere else that you can model this after?
Yeah, so it is an increasingly popular idea, sometimes well implemented, sometimes not. There and I want to be clear, so tiny homes are like everybody's favorite thing right now.
Right.
And that's where I'm somewhat resistant to the tiny home idea, because frankly, like some places out in LA or whatever, they're throwing up tiny homes and you see the things go around on Facebook and they look like sheds. And they're not communities. And they're simply like an indoor place for people who don't have a place to stay to live. That is not what we're trying to
do.
There's two examples. One is in Austin, Texas. That's a huge effort. And there's another one in Springfield, Missouri, that they actually build small houses. And really build in some of those community neighborhood like elements. You know, if you really think about it too, like another way to look at it is like you're really building, you know, horizontal detached apartments. You know, when you start thinking about it that way, you're like, oh, that's not so weird.
Right.
Why don't we do that? And the thing about it is like, yeah, it's easier to build an apartment building or, you know, and that resonates with people in a different way. But the people that we are working with, because of some of their social issues, their mental health issues, their living habits and whatnot, and the things that we need to work on, shared walls is a hard thing. And isolation is a real thing. And the more we encourage people to sit on their front porch and have and do environmental design in a way where people can meaningfully connect with people and put people in situations where they don't have to worry about what their neighbor is doing, or maybe like they think their neighbor is doing on the other side of the wall, the more we're setting them up for success. And that's where we have increasingly been intrigued with this concept of what does it mean to really build community for people that, as we talked about earlier, really transcends just being about housing.
Yeah, just because you'd said earlier, Megan, just about so many of these people have had the catastrophic loss, and this helps that. So you're dealing really the people that would be part of the Jeremiah community. Would they be the term that the chronic homeless would be part of this?
Yeah, the chronic homeless. So people who have been outside a year or more, have a disability, and really need a lifetime of support in order to have a meaningful life. And some of them will be able to achieve a level of healing that they'll be ready to move on from that. And some of them will be perfectly content living in that community for whatever time they have left, and they will have an opportunity at a more for a more meaningful life.
So what do you need? You need land, you need houses, you know, the basic
and
stuff.
And probably $8 to $10 million.
Which I thought it was very interesting. The night at Herkamp Park, and I can't remember who it was, but one of the pastors said, we already have the money. It's in your wallet.
We do. We already have the money, you know, and God has just doesn't have a bank account. And and so we need this community to you know, wire that money to God's bank account so that it can be shared with making this project happen.
And we've seen it over and over again, and in some cases real recently, where the community has come together and bought, you know, it has provided organizations money to buy land, to do some great things. So it's there.
Yeah. And I mean, so when you think about it, like one of our pastors actually preached a sermon recently that your average home renovation is $40,000 to $60,000.
Yeah.
So we think we can build a house for $40,000 to $60,000. So when you really start to think about it in that way, we do have the money. We can do this, and we can be a community that no one sleeps outside as a result of that.
This is when I first saw this, and I'm glad that you, because I think some of us, I think you fall into saying, oh, the tiny homes thing, but a small home does really, really reflect a more reasonable way to live and to get something.
Right.
And in seeing this, I remember thinking this really is a very doable thing, and this should be something that the community does get around and get behind, because I mean it can really have an impact.
Yeah, and it's I do think like we are at a point in our country where we're looking for innovative ways to address. Not just homelessness, but affordable housing in general. And, you know, there's a market, there's a contingency of builders and developers or whatever that's taken interest in what we're doing, because there's a market for people who are not homeless that just want a small house. And we don't currently have the zoning and the legislation on the books in our community to be able to even talk about building a small house in an economic way, and so like there's this whole conversation around like, you know, what do we really need, and you know, where I'm going to always just focus in on talking about the homelessness, there is a whole other part of our community that can benefit from saying, what does it take to really create communities that work for our homeless population, and how can we adjust our rules so that it can benefit others as well.
Well, the other thing, Megan Cotter here on News Talk 1230 WFVA with Micah Ecumenical Ministries. The other thing is, this is something that's going to take, so often when you have needs, it's everyone is sort of focused on the city and people are in the city. This is where Spotsylvania and Stafford and Caroline and King George.
Right.
Can get involved, because they do have land.
Yeah, well, and so we are looking regionally for a site, and we've identified a couple sites, largely Stafford, Spotsylvania, and Fredericksburg, because of the bus line. The population
That's right.
we serve
yeah.
largely depends on the bus service, and the bus does not go to the more rural jurisdictions. But we are looking for a site, you know, as little as 10 acres or so. We think we can build 30 to 50 small homes. And what's exciting is that, I believe you all covered this as well, that just recently the city of Fredericksburg, Mary Washington Hospital, and another group that's a state organization, called Virginia Supportive Housing, have all signed on to an MOU to work together to find a site where we can build 30 to 50 small homes.
Yeah.
And Virginia Supportive Housing, which has a more of an apartment building model, can also build 60 to 80 apartments.
Okay.
And so the idea is to build this multifaceted complex where we can actually functionally end chronic homelessness in our community.
Wow. You've always talked about that.
I have.
You
We're
have
gonna
al-
do it.
Always talked about it. And you've always said that too. It's never been just like, I'm not just saying that, because I'm not just saying that.
That's right.
We're going to do it.
That's right.
And all of a sudden you see this idea and you think it is doable.
Mm-hmm.
The finish line is right in front of us.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, in the category of kind of what we need, yes, we need land, and we're looking at sites, and you know, if there's people that hear this today and they know of something, you know, please call us. I already have nine either people or organizations that have said, I'm going to build a house. We also have nine churches that are working on their process to say, you know, our church is going to build a house. That's 18. And so we're not far from where we need to be to have 50. And so, you know, now is a really good time to be making a commitment to say, you know, I'm going to commit to build that house. You know, people can name it. They can pick the colors. And they can be part of this community as a lasting legacy of what it means to take care of our least.
I never even thought of that, of having a whether it's any number of people or groups or churches or organizations can say, I'll do a house or maybe even two houses.
Yeah, and that's the model that has worked in some of the other communities that I mentioned. And, you know, there's, you know, some kind of, you know, comical stories. In the one in Springfield that I visited a couple months ago, there was a lady who had died and her friends came together and paid for a house to have a house in the village in her name, and then they decided they wanted to be in the village with her, and so they each built a house right next to the one that she did, so they got three houses. And so that's a part of what we're talking about is that we are weaving a fabric of this community that isn't just about the homeless population, it's about the legacy of how our community wants to claim its place of taking care of the very least among us.
And so many politicians or others talk about affordable housing, and it's always hard to pin someone down on what does that mean. Here's a chance to really get behind it.
Yeah, this is truly deep affordable housing, and it is our desire, I should say this, it is our desire that this be a privately funded project as much as possible.
Yeah.
That we believe will give us the most flexibility to care for people in the most meaningful way. We are not LA. We are not Washington, D.C. We still have an urban homelessness need that we need to respond to, but ours is so manageable. It is so doable. And you know, we can be a community where nobody has to sleep outside, and you know, it's really going to take people in the community to really understand and claim that, to really make that happen.
You always need volunteers. You can go to the website about that. Donations also, to be able to do what you do. And whether it's something like this time of year, whether it's water, drop that by. There's always something you can do.
Well, and as much as Jeremiah Community is important, I mean, there is a real tension, of course, with any organization that does new things, that we got to keep the things we're doing going as we're doing the new thing, and those things evolve together. So support of all types is important.